Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, you can listen to us on 910 The Fan or 105.1 on the FM side. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can take us on the go wherever you may be, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends of Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cakes Auville and Jason Bishop. EB's following Cornell Volleyball. I believe he's heading to Syracuse. So he'll be back on Monday. But joining us right now, as he does every Friday at this time, is our pal John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfman, where you can custom fit the new GT Metals from Titleist, the new Apex Irons from Callaway, and more. Visit them at Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis. You can get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there. Good morning, John.
Morning, fellas. How's everybody?
Hey, what's up, John?
What are the weekend plans, John?
The weekend plans are very exciting. You guys are welcome to come down to keep unpacking the house. Still got
a long
way to go.
I'm busy with something.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Anything other than unpacking your house.
Yeah. Well, you remember the Seinfeld episode where Keith Hernandez asked him to help him move?
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry's like, I, this is too early in a relationship to help somebody yeah. move. I just can't do it.
Also, that's a move like when you have friends in their 20s and 30s, you ask them to help you move. But
yes, exactly.
Not when
exactly.
you get.
I fortunately have a young son who has been a huge help in making progress.
Very good.
Well, he's moved. It's the unpacking.
Yeah, that part
putting things in the right place
is the worst part. Although the move was a nightmare too.
Yeah.
But the unpacking, you know, I'm sitting here. I'm actually in one of the rooms that is unpacked, but I'm looking at other rooms from here that, you know, still look like a warehouse.
Hmm.
It's life, right?
Yep. It is life.
It's, yep. It is. You get through it.
In Spanish, say poco a poco se va lejos. Little by little, you go far. Just you'll be
exactly.
fine.
Exactly. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I spoke French in my younger days, but not much Spanish.
So we opened the show, even though it's a football Friday, talking about Shohei Ohtani.
How can you not?
I mean, 6-for-6, 10 RBIs, becomes the first 50-50 guy, and next year he's going to come back and pitch. Have you seen?
Yeah, I mean,
it's rhetorical. Have you seen anything like this? You haven't.
No, you haven't. He's the unicorn. That's the saying today. Babe Ruth did stuff along these lines in 1916, 1917, 1918. No one has ever done this before. And I keep seeing stories on the internet because this is what the internet does. He could be the next Shohei Ohtani. It's like when they say he could be the next Tiger Woods. No, there's one. And I doubt if there's going to be a second one anytime in my lifetime. That's for sure.
So John, if you emerged from the dog pile at the Marlins Stadium last night with that 50th home run ball, do you give it back to Ohtani or the Dodgers,
yeah.
or do you go sell it for $1 million?
No, I would give it to Ohtani. I could use the million, but
well, good.
To me, in those situations, it belongs to the player. He made the history. He's part of history, and I would give it to Ohtani and hope maybe I'd get Dodger season tickets or something out of it.
Nah, I'd sell it.
Yeah, I'm team
sell. Well, and again, if you did sell it, I wouldn't blame you.
Yeah.
I mean, if the money is what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when David Faraday went to LIV and he went from $1 million a year with 1 year left on his contract to $5 million a year for 5 years guaranteed. I could sit here very easily and say, oh, I would never do that. It's blood money. But if the offer had been made to me, I'd have had to think about it.
It's kind of incredible. Shohei has won two MVPs, going to win a third. And, I mean, if he stays healthy, he looks like the way he's, you know, he's hitting the ball. He makes it look so effortless. And the way he can run the bags, he could win 6 or 7 MVPs, if not more.
Yeah, he could. If again, it's always the caveat, if he stays healthy. And, of course, he had to have Tommy John surgery, which is why he didn't pitch this year. But I agree with you. I mean, his ability, and he seems to still love to compete. You know, the greatest athletes are the ones who get the multi-million-dollar contract and still want to be the best. And you pick a sport. And Ohtani seems to be one of those guys. What did he sign for? $700 million, I think?
Yeah, and almost all of it's deferred, too.
Yeah, and so he's got all the money in the world, but he still wants to be great. And he is great. And I love watching him play. There are very few, at this stage in my life, there are very few guys who, for me, are their at-bats are must-see. His at-bats are must-see, if you're any kind of baseball fan.
And I know you're a Mets fan, but if the Mets didn't get there, this would be the year to have Yankees, Dodgers in the World Series, because you'd have Judge and Shohei.
Right, right. It would be cool and throw in Soto. Yes, I am a Mets fan, and I did read the story in the Washington Post the other day after the Mets won the first game of that series 2-1, mm-hmm. saying the Nationals showed they're not intimidated by the Mets. You know, they right. stood up to the Mets, and then they lost the next two games 20-1 total.
Yeah, that was a beatdown.
Oh, my gosh, it was a beatdown. At least the Nats were competitive last night. But I keep reading all these stories, making excuses for the young players, and I want to see what happens next year. It'll be very interesting, because next year is supposed to be the year they finally break out of this five-year losing scheme.
Well, we'll see. Well, and then, by the way, the Mets pounded the ball again last night.
They
scored another 10. They scored 30 runs in the last three games. Incredible.
Yeah, I was driving back from Washington, and I was able to pick the game up, you know, because the signal is so strong from both WFAN and WCBS out of New York, and they did pound the ball. They just started hitting home runs out of the gate and kept hitting home runs.
Talking to best-selling author and Washington Post columnist John Feinstein, you mentioned LIV. Apparently, there's some sort of hiccup here between the PGA Tour and LIV, where some of the guys want the LIV players to return their money.
Right. Or some of their money.
Well, that ain't happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, what are the chances of that happening?
No, zero.
Yeah.
Zero. That's not going to happen. That's not going to be part of the deal if they ever get a deal. Hiccup. Jeepers. We've had a million hiccups to the point where you'd have to call the emergency room. No, that's not going to happen. And it is good that the LIV players are going to play in the Ryder Cup, because the Ryder Cup will be better with them than without them.
Right.
And the majors are better with them than without them. But the sport is still divided. And to me, I mean, Jay Monahan's a nice guy. But to me, you need somebody running the PGA Tour who can get something done here. I mean, Monahan from day one was reactive rather than proactive. He looked up when, you know, the horse was out of the barn and said, looks like the horse is out of the barn. And, you know, what was it? It's more than a year and a half now almost, since they announced the quote-unquote merger, and there hasn't been a single step forward and from anybody.
Hey, how long do you think it's going to take?
Jason, I have no idea. I have no idea, because I don't know what the hell's going on. Mm-hmm. Why? It's one of those deals to me where if I'm the PGA Tour and I'm LIV, I'm getting in a room and I'm not leaving the room until I have some kind of an agreement. Whatever the agreement is. I mean, there are 47 different ways you can go, but they're just kind of cruising along saying, oh, guess what? Tiger Woods came to a meeting. Well, great.
All right.
What
happened in the meeting? Nothing.
Tiger's coming in and being Josiah Bartlett from West Wing and pounding his fist on the table and saying nobody leaves until this is done. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Speaking of money, your boy Adrian Wojnarowski, I don't know how well you know him. I assume you do.
I know him quite well, actually. Yeah.
I couldn't believe he was making the money that he was making at ESPN. But now he's decided, you know what, I got plenty of money.
Right.
You know, the job's getting to me.
I'm going to go do something I'll enjoy.
I'm going to go do something I enjoy. I'm going to be a general manager of a hoops team, a college hoops team.
Right, right. Well, mostly a lot of his job is going to be the NIL stuff.
Right.
He should be good at it. And Bob Arena, the AD, who's an old friend of mine from his days at Army, I talked to him yesterday, and I said, you just pulled the biggest coup of the year in college sports. by getting Woj. And I'm happy for Woj because I know he was burned out. I mean, ESPN is relentless. I mean, Woj could make 20 stories in a row, and if he didn't break the 21st, they'd be, well, how did you miss that?
Mm-hmm.
I had a boss like that at the Washington Post, so I can relate. And, you know, he reached the point where he said, you know what, I've made a lot of money. My family's comfortable financially. I love St. Bonaventure. It's his alma mater. And why don't I do something different where somebody's not texting me or on the phone every 5 minutes saying, what about this? What about that? He told Beretta when they were talking about the job that he'd gotten to the point where if he was in the shower, his phone would have to be right next to the shower in case it rang.
Right.
And to me, anyway, that's no way to live. And he's a bright, talented guy, and I think this is a great thing for him, for St. Bonaventure, and for college athletics. Not so great for ESPN.
Yeah, he's got plenty of money. I mean, even though he's walking away from 20.
He's got plenty of money. And in fact, when it was Woj who went to Bob with the idea, and Bob said, well, wait a minute. Well, you know, we can't afford to pay you a fraction of what you're getting at ESPN. And Woj just said, I don't care. Don't worry about that. I just think this sounds like a job I'd enjoy.
Yeah, it's almost like he's working for free compared to what he was making at ESPN.
It's probably close from the sound of it.
Yeah, exactly right. Good for him.
Yeah, it's good.
I sent him a note, and I congratulated him on returning from the dark side.
Hey, did you watch the Jets game last night?
I did not. As I said, I was driving home from D.C. last night.
Oh, that's right.
When I got home, I checked the score and went to bed.
Yeah.
And good for the Jets for winning against a team that I think is going to win like four games.
How about the statistic, though, that last night's touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers to Garrett Wilson, his 480th, was the first time he ever threw one to a first-round pick?
Well,
that's kind of crazy.
A lot about Rodgers, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How so many touchdown passes to non-first-round picks.
Yeah, he elevates guys around him.
He always.
Yeah.
I mean, look, there are a lot of things about Aaron Rodgers to question on a personal level. But to question his greatness as a quarterback is ridiculous. The only question was, how healthy could he be coming back from the Achilles? And he appears to be okay.
Appears to be fine. And Davante Adams, who he threw a bunch of touchdowns to, was a second-round pick. So
I did see that he did throw a touchdown to pass to Mercedes Lewis, but he's a tight end.
Ah.
It was a first-round pick, so no wide receiver.
No wide receiver first-round. Okay, got you.
Right. And look, it doesn't matter who you throw touchdown passes to.
Yeah.
Although I guess the new phrase on ESPN, I was watching a highlight show the other day, is tutty. It's not a touchdown.
It's a tutty.
Yeah, you're, yeah. Hey, look at John getting up to date with the
lingo. Don't you know the Commander's mascot?
Is it tutty, the new one? Is
Major,
that
tutty. Major tutty. Major tutty. It's a pig.
God help me. But the other thing that I don't understand, now I've been following baseball since I was 6 years old, literally. And I watch a lot of baseball, as you guys know. And I've written books about baseball. Where the hell did the sweeper come from? I never heard of that pitch till like 2 years
like the
ago.
Slow curve?
Yeah, now, again, I'm listening to the Mets game last night. And every other pitch, according to the play-by-play guys, was a sweeper.
Was it a lefty throwing?
Isn't that a curveball?
Was it a left-handed pitcher on the mound? Because I hear it a lot from lefties that throw like that slow
Severino
curveball.
From the Mets is a righty.
Okay. I guess it's becoming more.
Well, I think Taijuan Walker is a righty too, although he might as well be throwing standing on his head right now.
Yeah. No, I don't know. They come up with new names all the time. But yeah, I don't know who it was, but they were breaking down his pitch count. And it might have been in the Mets snatch series, but whoever it was had thrown eight different pitches, including a sweeper.
Yes. Yeah,
including a sweeper.
And by the way, if the Nats were throwing sweepers, they weren't sweeping.
No, they weren't.
So
they were sleeping, but not sleeping. hey, do you think the I can't believe that as bad as the Pats were last night, that they beat the Bengals in week one, but they did. They played much better than the Bengals. They got some luck, but they won. But how do you think how do you think the Commanders fare next Monday?
Well, I told you I thought they were going to beat Tampa Bay, and they didn't. So I'm going to tell you, I don't think they're going to beat the Bengals, and they probably will. Bengals are desperate.
Yes.
The Bengals have to win. They can't afford to go to 0-3. Of course, neither could Florida State, and they're 0-3. But I think that's a tough out. I watched the Bengals-Chiefs game last Sunday, and it was a really good game, and the Bengals played well, you know, against arguably the best team in football. The Commanders are not the best team in football. And I think that's going to be a tough out for them. And if they lose, no one should panic. And if they win, no one should buy Super Bowl tickets.
Right, correct.
That is correct.
On both counts.
All right, well, your boys play Memphis this weekend. Memphis has a really good offense.
This is a really interesting game for Navy because they won. They're 2-0 for the first time since 2019. And they won their first two games against kind of meager opposition. FCS team, Temple's not any good, although Temple beat them last year. So that was a good sign that they beat Temple easily. But Memphis has ambitions for the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
The league is not what it used to be when Houston and Cincinnati and Central Florida were still part of it. And they've got a chance to run the table. They always have a good offense. Their defense is apparently better this year. They've got 9 turnovers in 3 games. And so the midshipmen have to go in there and not turn the ball over to have a chance to win. And it's at Navy Marine Corps, and it should be a very interesting afternoon.
All right, John, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, pal. Have a good weekend.
Enjoy the unpacking.
What time should I look for you? About 10 o'clock tomorrow?
Yeah, 10 past never.
The same time we'll look for you at our next poker open or our next spring break party.
Right.
If I'm not there, you better start without me.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
See you guys.
See you, buddy.
John Feinstein brought to you by Golfdom, where you can custom fit the new GT Metals from Titleist or the new Apex Irons from Callaway. Visit them in Tysons, Rockville, or Annapolis to get your game ready for fall golf. Golfdom by Worldwide Golf. Get there.